It's summertime, and with summertime comes the summer blockbuster movies. How many of you are big-time moviegoers? Anybody a big-time moviegoer? We have some in the back who are big-time moviegoers. Have you seen, just walking around the mall, or perhaps when you went and saw a movie, the poster for The Perfect Storm? Has anybody seen it? It's an incredible poster. It's an incredible picture that's very dark and black, and then has this gigantic wave that goes three-quarters the way up the poster. And this small, tiny boat, in comparison, vertically, riding vertically halfway up that wave. It's an incredibly impressive poster, and it is supposed to be an incredibly impressive movie. Everyone, they say, is going to want to go see it to see the big wave and the special effects. Comes out this weekend, so I can't tell you if it's good or what it's about. But in seeing that poster, I thought of our scripture this morning and the story of the disciples who are facing their own storm on the Sea of Galilee. It started off as a normal day with Jesus, if there was ever such a thing as a normal day with Jesus. He was teaching a great crowd of people. And the crowd was so large as they pressed in on him, he stepped into one of the fishermen's boats to teach from the boat. And as he was done and dispersed, began to disperse the crowd and be completed with his teaching, he said, let us go to the other side. So they pulled out just as they were in the boat. Jesus, I suppose, very tired from a long day of teaching, crawled into the back of the boat on a cushion and took a much-deserved rest. He left the disciples to tend to his instructions of getting them to the other side. And about that time, something happened that actually has been recorded in recent history, as well as ancient history. One of those well-known Galilean storms came up. Some of you may have been to the Holy Land. I myself have not, but I have a friend who taught in the Holy Land for 18 months. And he tells me that when you go up to the Sea of Galilee, that the sea is surrounded by very high mountains. And that as the wind and the weather come up over the side of those mountains and then back down into that deep valley created by the Sea of Galilee, it creates amazing weather patterns. And often without warning, you can go from an incredibly beautiful sunny day, a sea that looks like glass, to total chaos. Dark skies, ripping winds, gigantic waves. They come on you without notice. Now, remember that some of Jesus' disciples were fishermen. In fact, four that I remember, Peter and his brother Andrew, James and his brother John, were all fishermen on the Sea of Galilee. They knew this lake well. And I assume they were experienced at facing these kinds of storms. So I'm guessing that as the storm came up and the waves began to roll, they probably did not immediately think this was a crisis. One of them, perhaps Peter, as he's known to kind of jump right in there, took charge and said, "Don't worry, guys, we know exactly what we're doing. This happens all the time out here on the sea. Just follow our instructions and we'll be fine." My guess is they first did everything they knew how to do. And on this day, it didn't seem to be working. Did you notice in the scripture, it doesn't say that the boat was just being battered about, or that the waves were just scary. It says that the boat was already being swamped. These were experienced fishermen, and they were sure they were going down. They began to panic. And in the midst of the panic, they realized Jesus is still asleep in the back of the boat. And about this time, they wake him up. Now, you kind of wonder why Jesus was such a sound sleeper and asleep back there. But you also wonder why the disciples wake him up at this moment. Was it that they wanted him to help bail water? Were they afraid for his life? Perhaps they woke him up because they were afraid for their lives. Maybe they did wake him up because they wanted or expected him to do a miracle. It's quite possible they woke him up just because they were mad that he had the audacity to be sleeping through their crisis. Whatever their reason for waking him up, I really don't think they got what they expected. They came to him with these words, "Don't you care that we are perishing?" And Jesus, who had slept through storm, through high winds, through crashing waves, through the screams and terror of his disciples, at those words, "Don't you care that we are perishing?" He was immediately awake. He stood up. He rebuked the wind. And then he spoke to the sea and said, "Peace, be still." And immediately the wind ceased, the waves stopped, and there was a dead calm. And now, with no distractions, no noise, no chaos, in the midst of that dead calm, Jesus looks at the disciples, gives them his full attention, and says, "Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith?" The reaction of the disciples to the storm was interesting, but now, to what Jesus has done, you think they were scared of the storm. Those words, they were filled with awe. In Greek, it actually says they were filled with a terrible fear. They were absolutely terrified of this Jesus. And they look at one another and they say, "Who is this man? Who is this that even the sea and the wind obey him?" It's an incredible story. And for my life, it has incredible relevance. I think that one of the things that is true about me that I don't want to admit, because I know better, is that I tend to think that if I am experiencing crisis, if there is chaos going on around me, if things aren't going smoothly, then obviously something is wrong. Wrong with my relationship with God, wrong with what I am doing, wrong with my choices. I must not be where I am supposed to be, or everything would be going right. Any of you ever thought that way? I mean, you know, I know better. And I still find myself falling into that. This story for me this week has been an incredible reminder that just because I'm in the midst of a storm does not mean I am outside of the will of God. There's been another great blockbuster movie that probably more of you have seen. That is the movie Titanic. Powerful story. That is a disaster, though, that when most of us watch it and look at it and remember that disaster of a ship, an unsinkable ship, hitting an iceberg and taking down most of its crew with it, with a few survivors of passengers. The one thing that stands out about that incident is how preventable it was. If just the captain had not been trying to make record time, if just the captain had listened to the iceberg warnings, if that ship that was only a few miles off had just not turned off its radio, if it had just recognized the flashes of light it was seeing across the horizon for the emergency it was, instead of just a play on the sea of the lights of the stars and the moon. If only, if only, if only. And we look at that story and we say, that was a preventable problem. If safety had been paid attention to, if directions had been followed, that wouldn't have happened. But this story that happens with the disciples is not a Titanic story. Remember whose idea it was to go out there? Whose idea was it to go to the other side? The disciples hadn't said, hey, let's go to the other side. Jesus is sleeping. Don't bother to ask him. Don't bother to wake him up. Let's just go. It was Jesus' idea. It was Jesus who said, let's go to the other side. And I'm amazed. Because then I have to remember that sometimes the fact that I'm following Christ, that I've made a decision for Christ, that I'm trying to live my life in that grace, may actually put me in the midst of storms that I may have been able to avoid otherwise. The reality for me in reading the scripture has been that following Christ does not mean taking the shortest, easiest route through life. There's nothing like getting upstaged by a baby, is there? He is adorable. And since it doesn't mean that I get to take the shortest, easiest route through life, and since it means that I may actually have to face storms and crisis that I might otherwise have gotten to avoid, I begin to look at this story in a little bit different light. I look at it not so much of a story of how do I keep this from happening to me, but when I find myself in the midst of that chaos, in the midst of those storms that life just brings, what is Jesus asking of me? So often I get in the middle of those storms, in the middle of those crises, and my first reaction is to do everything I know how to do. To take charge. To make a difference. To fix it. And when that doesn't work, like the disciples, I panic. And then sometimes, you know, now, this doesn't go outside of this room because I wouldn't want a lot of people knowing this, but sometimes then I get mad at God. How dare God not react in my crisis the way I want God to act? It's like he's asleep in the back of the boat. Here I am just panicking, flailing, running around like a chicken with my head cut off, screaming at the top of my lungs, what to do, what to do. And it seems like Jesus doesn't even notice. How many times in one form or another, whether it was with my lips or with my actions, have I said those same words? Don't you care that we are about to perish? But how many times has God also come through for me? I wonder, as we look at this story and as we think of our lives, when we experience those storms, what is it that God is calling us to do? If Jesus said to you this day, peace be still, what would it mean? As you face the storms in your life, what role does your faith play? Something that is also interesting to me about this story of the disciples is this was not their first experience with Jesus. They had been following Jesus for some time. They had seen him do healings, miraculous healings, including healing Peter's mother-in-law, a paralytic, a man possessed with a demon. They had seen him do amazing things. They had heard his teachings. And they knew he taught like no other man or woman they had ever heard. And yet they still really didn't know him. And they still didn't know that he had power in their situation. I am not surprised by Jesus' display of power in this story. But sometimes that doesn't translate to my own life. And I find I am indeed surprised to find that Jesus has power in my own storms. Something else, though, that has happened for me is as I have walked with Jesus, as I have matured not so much in years but in faith, an amazing thing has happened for me. I have gotten better. My panic reduces. My turning to God comes quicker. And I have also learned something else. That most of the great persons of faith, those persons I have known personally, those persons that we read about, are normally persons who have endured a tremendous amount of storms. They've gotten a lot of practice of turning to God and leaning on God and knowing that God is there. Think about it. These disciples in this story versus these exact same disciples in the book of Acts. Just not so many weeks ago, you talked about Pentecost. An amazing transformation happens. These same disciples who we find in this boat in the midst of a storm, they're wailing and bailing. Just a few short years later, after years of walking with Jesus, after the death and resurrection has become real for them. And especially after the gift of the Holy Spirit has been bestowed on their life. What do you think you would find them doing if they were caught in this same storm on the Sea of Galilee? There's plenty of incidents of storms of another kind in their life through the book of Acts. Times they're thrown in prison. Times they're threatened with death. Times they're thrown out of towns, beaten, chased, ignored. And yet they are so transformed. In every situation, we find them praying and praising. I have found that in the midst of the storms, sometimes God does not act as I would have God act. And I won't deny that that frustrates me and at times even causes a crisis of faith. But I am learning and I am getting better at leaning a little sooner and a little harder into God. And I am finding that he is always there. Whether I call out in praise and prayer, or whether I call out in wailings and and confusion. I wonder, as you look over your life and examine the storms that you have experienced in the past versus those storms that you are seeing now, is there a difference? Has there been some growth? Have you too found that indeed we have someone to stand by us through it all? Our closing hymn is Stand By Me. It is number 512 in your hymnal. If you would stand with me.